Chapter 152. Confusion and falsification. In the second, we take it to be clear that Mr. Wickfield might now wind up his business and his agency trust and exhibit no deficiency or defalcation whatever. Apostrophe, oh, thank heaven. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Agnes, fervently. But, apostrophe, said Traddles, the surplus that would be left as his means of support and I suppose the house to be sold, even in saying this would be so small, not exceeding in all probability some hundreds of pounds, that perhaps, Miss Wickfield, it would be best to consider whether he might not retain his agency of the estate to which he has so long been receiver. His friends might advise him, you know, now he is free. You yourself, Miss Wickfield Copperfield, I apostrophe, I have considered it. Trotwood, apostrophe, said Agnes, looking to me, and I feel that it ought not to be, and must not be, even on the recommendation of a friend to whom I am so grateful, and owe so much. Apostrophe, I will not say that I recommend it, apostrophe, observed Traddles. I think it right to suggest it. No more. Apostrophe, I am happy to hear you say so, apostrophe, answered Agnes, steadily, apostrophe, for it gives me hope, almost assurance, that we think alike. Dear Mr. Traddles and dear Trotwood, Papa once free with honor, what could I wish for? I have always aspired, if I could have released him from the toils in which he was held, to render back some little portion of the love and care I owe him, and to devote my life to him. It has been, for years, the utmost height of my hopes. To take our future on myself, will be the next great happiness, the next to his release from all trust and responsibility, that I can know. Apostrophe, have you thought how, Agnes? Apostrophe, apostrophe, often. I am not afraid, dear Trotwood. I am certain of success. So many people know me here, and think kindly of me, that I am certain. Don't mistrust me. Our wants are not many. If I rent the dear old house, and keep a school, I shall be useful and happy. Apostrophe, the calm fervor of her cheerful voice brought back so vividly, first the dear old house itself, and then my solitary home, that my heart was too full for speech. Traddles pretended for a little while to be busily looking among the papers. Next, Miss Trotwood, apostrophe, said Traddles, that property of yours. Apostrophe, well, sir, apostrophe, sighed my aunt. All I have got to say about it is, that if it's gone, I can bear it, and if it's not gone, I shall be glad to get it back. Apostrophe, it was originally, I think, £8,000, consols? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Traddles. Right. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied my aunt. I can't account for more than five, apostrophe, said Traddles, with an air of perplexity. Apostrophe, thousand, do you mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired my aunt, with uncommon composure, pounds. Apostrophe, apostrophe, £5,000, apostrophe, said Traddles. It was all there was, apostrophe, returned my aunt. I sold three, myself. One, I paid for your articles, Trot, my dear, and the other two I have by me. When I lost the rest, I thought it wise to say nothing about that sum, but to keep it secretly for a rainy day. I wanted to see how you would come out of the trial, Trot, and you came out nobly persevering, self-reliant, self-denying. So did Dick. Don't speak to me, for I find my nerves a little shaken. Apostrophe, apostrophe, nobody would have thought so, to see her sitting upright, with her arms folded. But she had wonderful self-command. Then I am delighted to say, apostrophe, cried Traddles, beaming with joy, that we have recovered the whole money. Apostrophe, apostrophe, don't congratulate me, anybody. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed my aunt. How so, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you believed it had been misappropriated by Mr. Wickfield? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Traddles. Of course I did, apostrophe, said my aunt, and was therefore easily silenced. Agnes, not a word. apostrophe, and indeed, apostrophe said Traddles, it was sold, by virtue of the power of management he held from you, but I needn't say by whom sold, or on whose actual signature. It was afterwards pretended to Mr. Wickfield, by that rascal, and proved to, by figures, that he had possessed himself of the money on general instructions, he said, to keep other deficiencies and difficulties from the light. Mr. Wickfield, being so weak and helpless in his hands, as to pay you, afterwards, several sums of interest on a pretended principal which he knew did not exist, made himself, unhappily, a party to the fraud. Apostrophe, and at last, took the blame upon himself, apostrophe added my aunt, and wrote me a mad letter, charging himself with robbery, and wrong unheard of. Upon which I paid him a visit early one morning, called for a candle, burnt the letter, and told him, if he ever could write me and himself, to do it, and if he couldn't, to keep his own counsel for his daughter's sake. If anybody speaks to me, I'll leave the house. Apostrophe, apostrophe, we all remained quiet, Agnes covering her face. Well, my dear friend, apostrophe said my aunt, after a pause, and you have really extorted the money back from him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, the fact is, apostrophe returned Traddles, apostrophe Mr. Micawber had so completely hemmed him in, and was always ready with, so many new points, if an old one failed, that he could not escape from us. A most remarkable circumstance is, that I really don't think he grasped this sum, even so much for the gratification of his avarice, which was inordinate, as in the hatred he felt for Copperfield. He said so to me, plainly. He said he would even have spent as much, to bulk or injure Copperfield. Apostrophe, ha! Apostrophe, apostrophe said my aunt, knitting her brows thoughtfully, and glancing at Agnes. And what's become of him? Apostrophe, I don't know. He left here, apostrophe said Traddles, with his mother, who had been clamoring, and beseeching, and disclosing, the whole time. They went away by one of the London night coaches, and I know no more about him, except that his malevolence to me at parting was audacious. He seemed to consider himself hardly less indebted to me than to Mr. Micawber, which I consider, as I told him, quite a compliment. Apostrophe, do you suppose he has any money, Traddles? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I asked. Oh dear, yes, I should think so, apostrophe, he replied, shaking his head, seriously. I should say he must have pocketed a good deal, in one way or other. But, I think you would find, Copperfield, if you had an opportunity of observing his course, that money would never keep that man out of mischief. He is such an incarnate hypocrite, that whatever object he pursues, he must pursue crookedly. It's his only compensation for the outward restraints he puts upon himself. Always creeping along the ground to some small end or other, he will always magnify every object in the way, and consequently will hate and suspect everybody that comes, in the most innocent manner, between him and it. So the crooked courses will become crookeder, at any moment, for the least reason, or for none. It's only necessary to consider his history here, apostrophe said Traddles, to know that. Apostrophe, he's a monster of meanness. Apostrophe, apostrophe said my aunt. Really I don't know about that, apostrophe observed Traddles thoughtfully. Many people can be very mean, when they give their minds to it. Apostrophe, and now, touching Mr. Micawber, apostrophe said my aunt. Well, really, apostrophe said Traddles, cheerfully, I must, once more, give Mr. Micawber high praise. But for his having been so patient, and persevering for so long a time, we never could have hoped to do anything worth speaking of. And I think we ought to consider that Mr. Micawber did right, for right's sake, when we reflect what terms he might have made with Uriah Heep himself, for his silence. Apostrophe, I think so too, apostrophe said one. Now, what would you give him? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired my aunt. Oh, Before you come to that, apostrophe said Traddles, a little disconcerted, I am afraid I thought it discreet to omit not being able to carry everything before me, 2 points, in making this lawless adjustment for it's perfectly lawless from beginning to end of a difficult affair. Those 1 oh, yes, and so forth, which Mr. Micawber gave him for the advances he had apostrophe, well, they must be paid, apostrophe said my aunt. Yes, but I don't know when they may be proceeded on, or where they are, apostrophe rejoined Traddles, opening his eyes. And I anticipate that, between this time and his departure, Mr. Micawber will be constantly arrested, or taken in execution. Apostrophe, then he must be constantly set free again, and taken out of execution, apostrophe said my aunt. What's the amount altogether? Apostrophe, why, Mr. Micawber has entered the transactions, he calls them transactions with great form, in a book, apostrophe rejoined Traddles, smiling, and he makes the amount £103.5. Apostrophe, now, what shall we give him, that sum included? Apostrophe, said my aunt. Agnes, my dear, you and I can talk about division of it afterwards. What should it be? £500? Apostrophe, upon this, Traddles and I both struck in at once. We both recommended a small sum in money, and the payment, without stipulation to Mr. Micawber, of the Uriah claims as they came in. We proposed that the family should have their passage and their outfit, and £100, and that Mr. Micawber's arrangement for the repayment of the advances should be gravely entered into, as it might be wholesome for him to suppose himself under that responsibility. To this, I added the suggestion that I should give some explanation of his character and history to Mr. Peggotty, who I knew could be relied on, and that to Mr. Peggotty should be quietly entrusted the discretion of advancing another 100. I further proposed to interest Mr. Micawber in Mr. Peggotty, by confiding so much of Mr. Peggotty's story to him as I might feel justified in relating, or might think expedient, and to endeavor to bring each of them to bear upon the other, for the common advantage. We all entered warmly into these views, and I may mention at once, that the principals themselves did so, shortly afterwards, with perfect goodwill and harmony. Seeing that Traddles now glanced anxiously at my aunt again, I reminded him of the second, and last point to which he had adverted. You and your aunt will excuse me, Copperfield, if I touch upon a painful theme, as I greatly fear I shall, apostrophe said Traddles, hesitating, but I think it necessary to bring it to your recollection. On the day of Mr. Micawber's memorable denunciation, a threatening allusion was made by Uriah Heep to your aunt's husband. Apostrophe, my aunt, retaining her stiff position and apparent composure, assented with a nod. Perhaps, apostrophe observed Traddles, it was mere purposeless impertinence? Apostrophe, no, apostrophe returned my aunt. There was, pardon me, really such a person, and at all in his power? Apostrophe hinted Traddles. Yes, my good friend, apostrophe said my aunt. Traddles, with a perceptible lengthening of his face, explained that he had not been able to approach this subject, that it had shared the fate of Mr. Micawber's liabilities, in not being comprehended in the terms he had made, that we were no longer of any authority with Uriah Heep, and that if he could do us, or any of us, any injury or annoyance, no doubt he would. My aunt remained quiet, until again some stray tears found their way to her cheeks. You are quite right, apostrophe she said. It was very thoughtful to mention it. Apostrophe, can I or Copperfield do anything? Apostrophe asked Traddles, gently. Nothing, apostrophe said my aunt. I thank you many times. Trot, my dear, a vain threat. Let us have Mr. and Mrs. Micawber back. And don't any of you speak to me. Apostrophe with that she smoothed her dress, and sat, with her upright carriage, looking at the door. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Micawber, said my aunt, when they entered. We have been discussing your emigration, with many apologies to you for keeping you out of the room so long, and I'll tell you what arrangements we propose. She explained to the unbounded satisfaction of the family, children and all being then present, and so much to the awakening of Mr. Micawber's punctual habits in the opening stage of all bill transactions, that he could not be dissuaded from immediately rushing out, in the highest spirits, to buy the stamps for his notes of hand. But, his joy received a sudden check, for within 5 minutes, he returned in the custody of a sheriff's officer, informing us, in a flood of tears, that all was lost. We, being quite prepared for this event, which was of course a proceeding of Uriah Heep's, soon paid the money, and in 5 minutes more Mr. Micawber was seated at the table, filling up the stamps with an expression of perfect joy, which only that congenial employment, or the making of punch, could impart in full completeness to his shining face. To see him at work on the stamps, with the relish of an artist, touching them like pictures, looking at them sideways, taking weighty notes of dates and amounts in his pocketbook, and contemplating them when finished, with a high sense of their precious value, was a sight indeed. Now, the best thing you can do, sir, if you'll allow me to advise you, said my aunt, after silently observing him, is to abjure that occupation forevermore. Madam, replied Mr. Micawber, it is my intention to register such a vow on the virgin page of the future. Mrs. Micawber will attest it. I trust, said Mr. Micawber, solemnly, that my son Wilkins will ever bear in mind that he had infinitely better put his fist in the fire than use it to handle the serpents that have poisoned the lifeblood of his unhappy parent. Deeply affected, and changed in a moment to the image of despair, Mr. Micawber regarded the serpents with a look of gloomy abhorrence in which his late admiration of them was not quite subdued, folded them up, and put them in his pocket. This closed the proceedings of the evening. We were weary with sorrow and fatigue, and my aunt and I were to return to London on the morrow. It was arranged that the Micawbers should follow us, after effecting a sale of their goods to a broker, that Mr. Wickfield's affairs should be brought to a settlement, with all convenient speed, under the direction of Traddles, and that Agnes should also come to London, pending those arrangements. We passed. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.